It is Your Money, and I'm Susie Jones, your host, along with our special and favorite and every week guest, the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group, Bruce Helmer, and a financial advisor, also senior financial advisor, senior vice president, Peg Webb. Welcome to both of you as we near the Thanksgiving holiday. The shopping season gets underway, and we have a special topic for folks today, don't we?
Good morning, Susie. Good morning, Bruce.
Hi, Peg. Hi, Susie Jones. And thank you, Susie. Yeah, that's a great lead-in. Peg, every year we do this show or some variation of this show, and we're going to talk about holiday spending and hopefully enjoying the holidays, enjoying time with loved ones, and being able to give and be generous without breaking the bank, without feeling guilty, without having bills in February and March that you still haven't been able to pay the balance on, now you're paying interest. So we're going to talk about that. You know, costs are up. You know, again, this is not political. We had severe inflation under the last administration coming out of the global pandemic, and inflation has slowed, but costs are still rising, not at the same level, but people feel it. And the big buzzword now is affordability. Being able to afford your life, to be able to live, make your mortgage payment, make your car payment, and enjoy life. And now in the holiday seasons, to be able to give to people. And, you know, especially those of you that giving is your love language, you want to give and you want to be generous. But, you know, costs are up for things. Borrowing is up. So, Peg, we're going to talk a little bit how maybe you can enjoy this holiday season, again, without breaking the bank and without feeling awful later about what you spent. Peg?
Yeah, we do a show like this every year about this time. And one of the reasons we do it is just to talk about the generalization of people and how they spend and are they enjoying their families. And so in 2025, I have to say people do feel, I mean, we're coming off this government shutdown. People are feeling the stress. Now, I personally haven't done a thing, like not one thing preparing for this Christmas. So I'm not one to say, oh, I think that's more expensive than it was last year. But what I do see is the ads. I love to peruse and look at the ads. And I do see that that item was 5 or 10% cheaper a year ago. And one of the things that the stats say is that people spend about $1,700. That's a lot of money. And back in 2022, it was $1,430. So it's a pretty big difference there. Now, I can see, I haven't purchased anything yet, but I can see where electronics, toys, in some cases, clothing. I used to always want to get clothing from Santa or, you know, presents. And it's kind of funny because I have a certain taste to my clothes, but yet I just love when someone goes out and shops for something for me. And yes, it may be unique and different, but I love it anyway. So, but I think this electronics is still this huge boom. And it's interesting, Bruce, because the stats are saying that people got out shopping early, unlike Peg Webb. They got out because there were some great deals because the stores were kind of touting their prices already. I feel like before Halloween, they were already saying, you know, buy from us, Bruce.
Yeah, you know, Peg, even as recently as last year, there were surveys done, and after the holidays, this is for 2024, 60% of people surveyed said they had regrets about what they bought and how much money they spent. If you're a parent that had young children, that number went up to 69%. So, yeah, you know, you have this, you're shopping, and you have this emotion, you have these loved ones, and you want to please them, and you want to give them something that they're going to love. And then you end up maybe in hindsight spending more than you meant to. And Peg, even the number that you gave as the national average, $1,700. I can imagine people listening to us right now going, oh my gosh, there's no way I can afford to spend $1,700. So that national average, you know, that includes everybody. So that includes super wealthy people as well as normal everyday people as well as people that, you know, maybe are struggling a little bit. So there's a lot of people, Peg, that there's no way they can afford to spend $1,700. So is there some kind of rule of thumb that based on your income or based on your assets, what is a range that what is reasonable to spend without getting yourself into trouble? Because not everybody's going to spend $1,700.
Yeah. The stat is the classic 1.5% of income rule. It can be adjusted to 1 or 2% depending on what your income is. But I don't know, Bruce, if I really believe in that, because let's face it, the highest percentage of people that are employed, and we're talking about lots and lots of people, right, in the USA, that percentage is not going to be meaningful. I've never really looked at it that way. I always encourage people to have different buckets of money every year. And one is the holiday budget. Like, you have to already plan for it, not 2 weeks, not 6 weeks before the holidays at the end of the year. It's already in our plan before January 1st, let's say, of next year hits. We're already talking to people about budgeting for that. Because let's face it, these are all your loved ones that you're purchasing for, or you're creating, you know, events or things that you do with them, and it is expensive. So I feel like if you start early, you won't have the stress in January because you just spent at the last minute and you weren't organized, you know, with your list and your budget, Bruce.
Peg, that's a nice segue maybe into, you know, it's one thing for us to explain the problem and acknowledge the problem, but it's another thing, we're here to hopefully help people avoid the problem. So you kind of segued into maybe some budgeting tips that can help, you know, reduce the guilt that people might feel later, or just the financial strain of overspending. And you kind of went into the first one already, is to plan for this early. Don't wait till a lot of the people that, you know, spend too much money, they do so because they wait till the last minute or they have impulse buys at the last minute. So, you know, your first hint or recommendation or tip is to plan early, right?
Yeah. Yes, and I do, but I'm totally behind this year. So listeners, don't feel guilty about it. Now there's some tools out there, and I have to say I didn't know about these tools. They're called price trackers. So let's say you find an item and you want to purchase it for one of the gifts that you're giving. There's trackers. One's called Honey. One's called Camel Camel Camel, and one's called Capital One Shopping. This actually really intrigued me because I do know that I can do a Google search for something that I'm looking to purchase, and all sorts of different prices will come up. I just use that Google engine. But I think, you know, since I haven't done a lot of purchasing, I'm going to go to those trackers and see, you know, what that's all about. But last week we did a show about AI, and we talked about financial management and, you know, what AI can do for us. But I think setting a holiday budget and even talking to AI and say, here's all the people that I want to purchase something for. Here's my budget. You know, how would they view it? This is AI now. It's just amazing what it comes up with. Now you can alter it, you know, when you get the conclusion that AI said, well, this is something to think about, then you can always go back and say, oh, let me add a couple more details to this list. And I think that would actually help people out, Bruce.
Yeah, I do too. And again, in terms of, you know, tools that are out there, technological tools, I'm the last person ever to ever know about these things or use these things. But even I have seen, you know, some of this stuff, And, you know, I've become a big ChatGPT guy. I research everything there. And so some of these things that we talk about, I found also. And, you know, it's interesting, Peg, side note, you know, we mentioned that we do some version of this show almost every year. And historically, and I think it speaks a lot, you know, to our slightly different personalities, you're usually the one that's way ahead of the game. We do this show, and your holiday shopping is already done, and I haven't started yet. This year, I won't say I'm done, but I've got a good start on it. But I also have to admit that I have it pretty easy. Pamela buys for everybody but herself, so I really only have to shop for Pamela. So, but and then because she does most of the heavy lifting, she's got to get on it early. Because for people that don't know, my wife Pamela is a singer, and she's got like 21 shows in the month of December. So she's got to get her shopping done kind of before December when she has no time. So we're way out in front of it this year, but that's a flip-flop to how we are most years, I think.
Yeah, one of the things that I do, and it's not a lot of, you know, purchases per se, but doing experiences with the kids and my granddaughter. And so last year we already had talked about at Christmas that at some point in time in 2025, we would take little Nash to Disneyland. And so that was a big trip, right? So that was easy for me to just say, okay, well, that's what everybody's getting. Because if we're going to Disneyland in September, that's something that takes up that budget. And so that kind of made it easy on me. But other experiences like concerts, like Pamela's concert, which I absolutely love, but all the things out there that you could book early and make it more of a family thing, or I love going to events with people, and it's maybe something eclectic and unique for me. I would never have gone if I didn't find it and this other person would enjoy it. So I find that that's kind of fun. And then when it comes to kids, it's amazing how little Nash, she's 3 and a half, all she wants is a little squishy Spider-Man toy.
Yeah. So
I'm thinking, oh, you need like a dollhouse and you need this. And she's like, no, I just want that little Spider-Man cushy toy. Okay. So it's unique to your family. Your budget is unique. I see more and more clients using that travel and have experiences with the grandchildren versus, you know, material things, Bruce.
Yeah, and I like that, Peg. And we talk about that every year also. And sometimes, and I think of my own life, some of my most cherished memories or something that didn't cost a lot, but it was an experience. It was something that we did as a family, and it's priceless to me. But on the other hand, sometimes the experience, you know, you mentioned Disney World. That in and of itself can be expensive. So sometimes the experience that you want, or a concert, or, you know, one of my bucket list things is to see a concert at the Sphere in Las Vegas or Red Rocks in Colorado. Well, that's not cheap. But again, if you do something like that, like you said, that's it then. That is the gift. This trip, there's not going to be a bunch of other stuff. This is the
right.
Whole holiday budget on this one experience. But there's experiences. There's things also that you can do for loved ones that don't have to cost a lot. And again, you said it. Everybody's unique. Everybody likes different things. You know your loved ones. You know what they like. But if you can think of some sort of experience that doesn't have to, you know, cost an arm and a leg, they probably are going to get more long-lasting memories from something like that than the expensive stuff that you can buy them.
Well, the problem I have, Bruce, is if I go out in the stores or if I'm online looking at things and I kind of get excited, I happen to do one for me and one for the person. Because if I found this item, I'm like, oh, I would love that. Well, I'll get one for me and one for the person who I'm going to give it to. So that's kind of dangerous in a way. The other thing you can do is we talk a little bit about doing local shopping. I love that because to keep all the small stores in business, this is the time that they really rely on their finances and takes them into the next year. And then charitable giving. You know, it's a great time to chat with your family, and even part of your gift giving, you could just say to the family, you know, we gave to this charity, or you're going to go physically help a charity on that particular day, because that's so impactful, Bruce.
So in terms of, we've talked about, you know, getting into trouble, overspending. Now we're kind of segueing into some ways that maybe you can avoid overspending. We've got kind of a laundry list of three kind of ideas for people to curb this idea, to curb the impulse buying and maybe reduce the chances of overspending.
Yeah, the really difficult thing is, and I used to be a real heavy kind of credit card person, and we're talking about decades ago, where I didn't really realize at that time that when you purchase something, there's going to be a big fat percentage of IOU for carrying that balance on that credit card. And so I found that out the hard way. But right now, they're about 21%. So I can't even fathom people buying something and not paying it off right away, or have the wherewithal to pay it off right away. You're just not going to make any progress if you owe some credit card company 21%. Now, this buy, you know, now pay later, I don't hear much about those kind of payment plans anymore, but they still may be out there. But if a company's trying to lure you in to buy their things, they may say, okay, you have 6 months, 3 months, 12 months to pay this off, and then you won't have to pay that high credit card percentage. And then, you know, a lot of people, a lot of these stores, and I actually am guilty of this, when I go buy something at a particular store and they say I can have 25% off if you open this card, it's so exciting to get that big percentage off. So, yes, I fill it out, and then I kind of forget about it. So I have to track it and make sure that I pay it off before the, you know, the calculation is done. And then all of a sudden I have all these outstanding credit cards, and then I got to go to the credit bureau and close them out. So I would say just be careful about doing that. Unless you're a super organized person, it's going to cost you money, Bruce.
Yeah, those are all great points. And again, at the end of the day, the synopsis of all that is, you know, however you pay for whatever you buy, we're trying to prevent you from incurring high interest costs on top of the cost of already buying that thing. If you go buy somebody, you know, if you take the national average and you spend $1,700 on the holidays, that's a big number in and of itself. But now you start applying 21% interest on that for several months. Holy cow! Now the expense is, you know, goes through the ceiling. So again, I'm segueing now. We're going to give people some tips to ways to curb this impulse buying, to avoid paying these high interest rates, to avoid the guilt you feel from spending too much. What are some good ideas, Peg?
Well, I love this first one. It's walk away, right? If you think, oh, that's so beautiful, I really want, because we all want to give, right? And we want to celebrate together and with your family. And so you tend to, maybe they're touting that it's going to sell out and you're going to pay full price, but there is a 48-hour rule. And that rule pertains to anything you do in life, I feel. Don't jump at things, you know, ponder it for at least 2 days and make sure that your feelings about that are the same. And then I mentioned these instant discount. A lot of times it's credit cards. But the other reason is they have discounts. You don't even need the credit card, and they're encouraging you to pile up with things that you don't even need. And then everybody that I want to shop with, they want me to apply for the app, just not a credit card, but just go on the app. Now I'm filled with all these apps and flashing things that I need, you know, probably not a good idea. The other thing then quickly, Bruce, is just if you have a budget, which you should, we talked about these high interest rates, you've got to get rid of those ASAP as soon as possible. That is such a detriment. And then, you know, go back and substitute other presents. Let's say somebody said, well, I have two of these, you know, so you offer to go back and take it back. Sometimes that just ends up sitting on a shelf and you never did it. You have to make it a priority. And then set up automatic payments and just try to get things paid off. So the theme here, Bruce, is just don't overspend. You know, people don't need lavish things. They just want to be with you anyway during the holidays.
Yeah, and if you do overspend, there's a more efficient and less efficient way to pay off that bill. And once you're there, you can't undo it, but you can fix it as quick as you can. But Peg, of all the things you just said there, the one I like the most is the 48-hour rule. I don't know if people are familiar with this expression, but when I was growing up, the advice I often got is sleep on it. Just sleep on it. Even if it's 24 hours, take some time, think about it, consideration. Sometimes just waking up the next day, I have a totally different attitude than the day before. And it's not just buying stuff. It's a lot of things in life. Take some time, sleep on it, take 48 hours. Susie, I know we're about out of time for the first segment. I think we've covered most of what we want to, but if people want to chime in on this topic, share experiences, or ask a question, they can. But we'll take any and all financial questions in the second half of the show.
All right. You are listening to Your Money, Bruce Helmer, Peg Webb, 651-461-9226. Love to have you on as part of the show. You can call or text your questions. Again, 651-461-9226. And welcome back. Welcome back to the second half of Your Money. I'm Susie Jones. Once again, here is the founder of Wealth Enhancement and also a financial advisor, Bruce Helmer, and Peg Webb, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor. And we've spent the first half of the show talking about holiday spending without the guilt, doing it in a way that you can come out of the holidays and not wonder, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay for all this? We've invited your phone calls at 651-461-9226. Bruce, Peg, maybe we recap and then see about getting some listeners involved.
Thank you, Susie Jones. Yes, and thank you, listeners. If you joined us late, as Susie just mentioned, we did talk about avoiding overspending in the holidays. We gave a couple, ideas. Start early. Have a budget. We talked a little bit about, not impulse buying, if you will. Use a 48-hour rule. You can always go back and buy it later if you're not sure. We talked about unsubscribing from promotional emails. We talked about declining the instant discount cards and whatnot. So then we said if you already did overspend and now you're paying high interest on a credit card, pay that off as fast as you can. That's inefficient debt that increases the cost that you already spent. And we talked about experiences rather than lavish, expensive gifts are the things you can do that give people lasting, cherished memories that don't cost a lot. You can have a great holiday without spending a lot of money. And Peg, anything else that you want to add before we get listeners involved? Anything we didn't hit or didn't hit on as well as you would like to?
Well, we talk about values a lot within Wealth Enhancement Group and on this show. And, it's always going back to what's important to you and how does that importance spread out within your family or your friends. I just want to conclude with there's no better feeling than when you hand somebody a little something. It doesn't even have to be a big deal. And they're so appreciative. It's like the most unique thing, and I found it, right? And then you're handing it to someone, and the smiles and the so I have goosebumps because it is that time of year that spending the time trying to find that little unique gift goes a long way, Bruce.
Yeah, and again, your core values, your priorities, what's important to you. We talk about it all the time in terms of financial planning. And this is part of it. This is, financial planning. What you spend, your budget, what you spend on, life things is part of, is a subset of financial planning. And your personality does matter. One of the things, Peg, and I don't remember how much we've talked about this on previous shows, I'm not trying to make myself sound like a better person than I am, but I much prefer giving to receiving. I like giving gifts. I like giving things that people like. It makes my heart happy. I really like it. And on the other hand, I feel awkward getting gifts. And I always tell people, don't spend a lot on me. Don't do this. Don't do that. But like Pamela says to me, her love language is giving. I can't tell her not to give me stuff because that's what makes her happy. So I just have to accept it. But again, all this comes down to, you know, it's a wonderful time of season. It's a wonderful time to spend with your loved ones. But again, I can't overemphasize this. You've got to stay within a budget. You've got to be realistic with your own financial situation. And if you don't spend, you know, a ton of money, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to be a great holiday celebration. Just the time together, even if you don't have gifts, if you've made a decision, we've had a tough year, we don't have any extra money, we're going to skip gifts this year, but you're going to spend quality time together, it can still be a great holiday. And maybe, you know, decades into the future, you go, remember the year when we didn't have any money, we didn't give gifts, and you talk about it over a dinner table, and it's a lasting fond memory. You just don't have to spend a ton to make it a good holiday. Peg, last word to you.
No, I'm ready. If there's people that want to ask us questions, ready and willing.
All right. I guess that's me, 651-461-9226. A texter writes this morning, Susie and Peg, last week you had a guest on that gave a web address for Oracle AI. Could you repeat that today or tell us where to find it? Thank you, Peter in Brooklyn Park. Thank you for that. And just so you guys know, Peg and Bruce, Josh Wheeler dug it up from his file, and he does have it. If you want him to read that, he could do that real quick and give that to listeners, because remember, we talked about AI last week, and it was very interesting.
So we a couple things. First of all, the recording of that show is on wealthenhancement.com. And if you go to resources on the top, click on that, and then you have to scroll a little bit down to radio show. The show is on that particular site. So if you missed something or you didn't get the details you wanted, you can listen to that show. I would love, though, if Josh does have it and want to read it, it will be on the recording, you know, which was maybe hard to write all it down, but it would be great because I think there's a lot of people out there that are interested in AI. And this was just one suggestion of how do you get some understanding of what the terminology is and how can you reach out and in maybe some simpler form start to feel like you gain some confidence by just reading this article, and that would be great. So, Josh, if you're willing.
I think he is. Yeah, he's got it right now.
So I'll say it real slow, so everybody can kind of jot it down what they need to do. So it is Oracle, Oracle.com / artificial dash intelligence / AI dash agents / # AI / agents / use / cases.
All right.
Okay, so it
wow.
Is, yeah, it is at rather long. So if you are wanting to, you can go listen to the radio show and you will get clarity there as well.
Yeah, that was a great show on AI. I think everybody enjoyed that. But yeah, we'll get that up and have people listen back as well. Do you want to take another question here? This person writes, I never add apps to my phone. I mostly pay in cash. I have a budget for Christmas. Time together is more important than stuff the older I get.
That's a great comment, Susie. And again, it kind of reaffirms what Peg and I have been talking about. I also wanted to mention, I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, I took last week off, and Peg and Susie, I've had numerous requests during the week to take more weeks off or just retire permanently and let Mike Webb sit in this chair all the time. The show was really, really good, really well received, but I'm going to hang around a little longer, I think.
Yeah, good.
Peg, you want to add? I mean, again, the texter, it's not really a question so much as a comment, but the texter gives advice on what they do and prioritizing, and I just applaud that sentiment. I think it's absolutely right.
And Peg, can I ask you a quick question before you start? Is it a good idea to talk to your family? So my nieces and now all have children to say, hey, let's think of a different way of giving this season. So we're not just buying a $9 doll from Target, but we're doing, you know, of which they probably have 20.
Continue
on with your thoughts. Yeah.
I love what this listener said about time is the most important as you get older. I hear that from clients that I have for decades of time. Many, many clients they reach out, right? Now, people live all over, too. It's kind of interesting. One might be in California, one child, your grandchild, and one might be in Vermont. And so it takes a little bit more organization to get that time. But what I'm finding, too, is the parents of these grandchildren, which you want to see as often as you can, are so cooperative. And I think part of that is many people are having their children later, you know, close to their 40s, and they've kind of experienced things that they want to do. And now family and closeness and that kind of thing is more meaningful. So I do see clients reaching out, you know, trying to get time, go to these experiences. Susie, I love what you said in why not talk to the family? So here we are, we have Thanksgiving coming up. What a great time to chit-chat about how would you like to take a different approach? Now, it might be a little too late, especially with Thanksgiving late this year. But I like that idea because if one does it and several don't do it and they bring gifts, then it's kind of awkward too.
Yes, I'll say.
Yeah, so you need to have that talk with the family. And I don't think that's a bad idea at all, Bruce.
Yeah, no, and again, it's so many things financial, and I don't know if it's unique to the part of the country that we live in or if it's you know, everywhere, but we're just sort of coached or brought up to not talk about money. It's a taboo subject. It's just, we just don't do it, and sometimes we have to do it or it makes sense to do it, and it's okay to do it. You can do it in a tactful way, and it shouldn't offend anybody. If you have to tell your children, look, we don't have a lot of money for Christmas gifts this year. One of my favorite holiday movies, and I came late to the party, and I've already watched it once this year. It's A Christmas Story with little Ralphie that wants the BB gun.
It's the best.
They're afraid he'll shoot his eye out, but that movie does such a great job of prioritizing and looking at life and they end up their dinner gets eaten by the neighborhood dogs and they go out and they have a great time at an Asian restaurant or whatever. But I could watch that movie over and over and over again, and it just makes me happy and think of things that make you happy with loved ones and communicate that. Susie, that's such a good point. We just don't talk about it, and we should.
Yeah. 651-461-9226. Let's say this person, it's a kind of off topic. If I discovered I'd had under withheld taxes during the year, how can I make a payment to the IRS without filing a quarterly estimated tax return? So that's not even holiday, but it's a good financial question.
It is a good financial question. So Peg, and I'm going to expand on the specifics of the question. If you owe the IRS money, or you were late paying something, or you underpaid something, or something happened, I think most people are very intimidated and very afraid of dealing with the IRS. But they want to work with you. They want to set things right. And again, it's almost like segueing off the last thing we were talking about. One of the keys is communication and being straightforward with them and figuring something out by communicating, Peg.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've seen this a lot in, we review tax returns, we're comprehensive planners, and sometimes you just forget or you make a mistake. Not so much anymore are people doing their taxes on their own. I don't find that. I feel like they're reaching out to people to get their taxes done. But there is a penalty if you don't pay on time. But, you know, I have found over the years that if you're sympathetic and talk to the IRS or write a letter or something like that, more so we have seen it where people forget to take their RMD from their IRAs by the deadline. And we've ended up having to send a letter and saying, you know, we had a blank out. We just are, you know, what happened? And, you know, maybe Peter said he was going to do it, the accountant, and then it didn't get done. You can actually write to the IRS and just say, here's the deal, and see if they'll come back with, okay, you know, it seems like it's your first offense. And we've seen the IRS cooperate with clients if that happens.
Peg, to that point, I've had several times over the years, I've had clients that have had an issue with the IRS, and they might say, for example, I heard from them, I owe this money, I didn't reply, now I haven't heard anything in years, I think they forgot about it. And I'm like, no, trust me, they did not forget about it. The next time you hear from them, now you're going to have a ton of penalties and interest on that payment. If you ignore it, it does not go away. You have to be proactive. You can't assume, well, I'll wait for the IRS to get a hold of me again. If they get a hold of you once, you better take some kind of action. They are not going to forget. That problem does not go away by ignoring it. I've seen that happen several times over the years. And I'm going to segue a little bit here too. Again, this is slightly related to what we're talking about today, but I had an email question. Somebody said, I'm 40, and as a result of some poor choices over the last few years, I haven't saved enough for retirement, and I'm feeling stressed. What can I do to catch up? Well, again, if you spend too much on holidays or life or other things, maybe it impacts your ability to save for your retirement. But let's broaden the question, Peg. But the first thing, you know, that could be anybody, but the first thing I thought of when I read the question, to be that concerned at 40 is really admirable, but 40 is no time to panic. A lot of people age 40 haven't saved a lot for retirement yet. It's not too late.
Well, that's what I was talking about earlier in the show, is that, you know, 40-year-olds are starting families at 40 years old. And so they have experienced a lot, and they actually have some debt too. And so all of a sudden they're wondering, how am I going to, you know, get in a positive position? So one of the things that I always suggest is that, excuse me, if it gets to be too overwhelming, you have to just create a plan and stick with the plan as far as paying things off. I like what you said, Bruce, about the IRS. They don't forget. And the thing is about technology today, they don't forget even more than they used to not forget, right? So we definitely have to follow up on that. But once again, on these 40-year-olds, I feel like they still have a lot of time. You know, so I'm not critical of a 40-year-old that doesn't have a lot built up, but yet I feel like they have a lot of time. And at 40, you better start getting a plan going. And we're seeing more 40-year-olds coming to Wealth Enhancement Group than I had ever seen before, because they're in a position where later in life they haven't planned as much as they need to. Bruce?
Yeah, and again, on that one question, we can actually do a whole show, and obviously we've only got a few minutes left today. But two things that I think of, Peg, that I think are universally applicable, whether you're 40, 50, 30, it doesn't matter. Most Americans, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's a majority. Most Americans don't have an emergency account or a rainy day account. So if something happens, an unexpected expense, we've been talking about holiday spending, but what if you need a car repair or a home repair, your furnace goes out, unexpected, you've got this big expense. a majority of Americans don't have enough money in the bank to pay cash for that expense. They have to put it on a credit card, and now they end up paying interest on that expense. So I coach people all the time, have an emergency account in a bank, in a safe place, not with wealth enhancement, not in the stock market, in a financial institution where it's liquid and safe. And I recommend 3 to 6 months living expenses, and most people haven't done that, and most people should try to make that a priority. The other one I coach people to do, Peg, and again, we're a fiduciary. We don't tell everyone, come in and see us and give all of your money to us. Most people should participate in their company retirement plan, at least to the extent that if there's a matching contribution, they get the full matching contribution. Those two things, if most people just did those two things and nothing else, they're well on their way to a positive path, to a positive retirement. But most people, unfortunately, don't do those two simple things. And that has nothing to do, again, with giving money to Peg and I or wealth enhancement or a financial advisor or an investment counselor. Those are, that's within your own company and within your own bank. Do those two things first, and then you can think about more sophisticated investment strategies and more sophisticated planning and whatnot. Peg, you want to add to that?
I love everything that you said, Bruce, and I think the only other thing I was thinking about when you were talking about that is hide money from yourself, and that's how you do it. If it comes out of your paycheck before you even get it deposited in your bank account, it's easier to build wealth than first put it in your bank account and then it may or may not get into the long-term investment if that's the case. Susie?
651-461-9226. Peg, what do you think of moving high balance credit cards to like a new promotional card, 0% for 18 months and putting it all over and trying to tackle debt that way?
I think if you can find those today, that's an absolute great thing to do. The only negative to doing that is it might ding your credit report, what your number is as far as the ability. But I would certainly look at that. Anything where you could get 20% down to zero for any short period of time. And that would have to mean, too, that you do have that money or you have that cash flow, because a lot of those 0% have a very short time frame that it's zero, and then they're hoping that you stay with them for the 22%.
Yeah, okay.
Really quickly, Susie, because I know we're almost out of time, another thing that we sometimes coach people, if you have a lot of equity in your home, use that. The interest rate's lower, it might be deductible, and it's on an appreciating asset instead of a depreciating asset. That, I don't want everybody to go out and borrow against their home, but sometimes that's a lot better than paying 21% on a credit card.
All right. Great advice this week. And so we didn't get to everybody, but let us make sure people listening who have questions know that you can call the office. They will take your call. You can leave a message and they'll call you back to set up a free consultation, 1-888-6-ADVICE, or email your questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Have a very happy holiday.